I can't remember a time in my life where someone hasn't hated me. From a young child, I was labelled too loud, too wild, too much. Somehow, despite it all, it has never fazed me. Don't get me wrong, of course at times my ego has a pity party, but it's always been short-lived and the judgment of others has only fueled me to be even louder. I've survived childhood abuse, eating disorders, heartache, homelessness, substance abuse, and everything in between. Join me as I dive into it all and hopefully my rambles can encourage you to be your most outspoken self. Let's get controversial together.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, it worked. Yay.
Yay.
Okay, so I'll just do my little intro and then I'll say hi and then we'll go from there.
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, hang on. I have to find... I scribbled down some notes, but I'm just going to try and go, like, off whatever. Okay. Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken with the Controversial Queen. On today's episode, I wanted to chat with a dear friend of mine, Alison. Now, those that follow closely might know of Alison as my mod on TikTok. That's actually how our friendship began. Welcome to the show, Alison. I appreciate you joining me today.
Oh, no probs.
Now, firstly, from the outside, one might believe we wouldn't have much in common. Where along my journey did you come across me and what made you think that that loud mouth might actually be cool?
I think you were about maybe week six of your homeless journey.
Yeah.
And it was on TikTok, of course. I was still reasonably new to TikTok, I think. That must have been, what, about October? Does October sound about right to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I thought, I just watched for a little while and thought, I really like this person. This feels like a person that I really want to make contact with. Like, and I generally don't do those sorts of things, not through social media. Like, yeah. You know, you think about, you know, like the stranger danger and everything, but it just felt right to do. Yeah.
Yeah, we hit it off pretty quick and pretty well.
So. Yeah. I think I sent you a message and said, you know, and I'd seen other people say to you, you know, I want to be your friend, and like you're like, yeah, okay. but you seemed okay with becoming friends as well, and we just took it from there, didn't we?
Yeah. It was it's good reflecting back on that. Yeah, I can't even recall, you know, one of the first conversations, but yeah, our friendship just grew really fast. And, you know, I would say our friendship was really key in helping me keep my shit together while I was homeless. So I appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
Now, as our friendship grew, you shared with me a news article about your family.
Yeah, so it would have been about, I think it was close to December. And yeah. So this was, I'll say the year. So it was, would have been 20, what are we in 23? So 2020?
Yeah.
Was that right? Yeah. Or 21? Yeah. I've lost track. Yeah. It was 2020. And I felt comfortable enough to share an article with you. I said, I don't know if you know who, of me. But yeah, I sent a video, which was a YouTube video, which is from the show, Today's Night. And it was, yeah, a story that, myself and my children had been in. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was quite shocked and heartbroken for you, but in awe of the strength that you had to have made it through with such a positive attitude. So that obviously that video was an incident involving your two boys. Would you mind sharing that story with us?
Yeah, sure. So in December of 2012, I left my then husband. Yep. He was my first, I call him my first husband, my ex-husband. I trusted him to take care of my children.
Yep.
Our children, sorry. And over the course of 2 days, I stayed with a friend and secured somewhere to live. I was ready to sign a lease in 2 days. I found, now this wouldn't happen in this day and age.
I was going to say, you wouldn't get that now, would you?
No. So I managed to secure, I was about to sign the lease on a house. I was ready to move. I was prepared to do what I guess most separated couples do was, you know, share, you know, have shared custody. In my head, it was going to work out okay. Yeah. However, it didn't work out that way. He was not happy. My ex-husband wasn't happy. He didn't deal with the situation very well. And when I had organised him one day to pick both my boys up from him, and instead of, you know, an hour before I was supposed to pick them up, I get a phone call from a police officer saying, can you please go to the hospital? And I was like, well, why? And are you legit? Because I'd had issues with my ex in those couple of days in pestering me and being annoying and sending me text messages and making up, you know, crap that like they do. But I confirmed that he was a police officer and I needed to go to the hospital. And I was thinking, oh, God, what's happened? I need to get to the hospital to find out that they had been in a car fire. And so had he as well. And so what I had learnt was that he had put gas bottles in the boot of the car, turned them on. I don't know how many. I really don't care now. It doesn't matter. But then he got in the car and lit up a cigarette, and the car caught on fire. So then, so that's what that story on Today's Night was about. And it's some people, if they use the right wording, they can go and find it if need be. Yeah. On YouTube. Yeah. But then we proceeded to spend the next. My children were then flown to Melbourne, Royal Children's Hospital, and there we spent the next, from December through to February, so the next 2 months in hospital there until they were ready to be transported. My elder son was discharged in that time, but my younger son, Spencer, had to be there a lot longer. He suffered a lot worse burns. So my elder son had burns to 23% of his body, whereas Spencer, my younger son, had burns to 38% of his body.
Yeah.
And I can talk about that a little bit further on. But we were then flown back to Hobart, where we then spent another 2.5 months. So all up, we were in hospital for 5.5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've got they were in bandages from their face, their face was bandaged, their arms was bandaged, neck and part of their legs, right down to their ankles.
Yeah. So how long were you and your ex-partner together?
We were together for, good question, quite a while. We met in 1996, so that was 1996 to 2013, so I'm hopeless with maths.
I think we were
married for about 17 years, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so during your marriage...
Sorry, 13 years. Yeah, sorry. So we're together 17. Yep, 13 years.
Yeah, married, yeah. So during the time of your relationship... were there signs that he had issues with anger and aggression?
I never really saw it until, I never saw the red flags until after I left. But then when I look back now, there was lots, and I kind of in the back of my mind did know that they were, and I guess I was just hoping that things would keep changing, and they never did. Probably from day one.
Yeah.
Definitely from day one. I remember having an argument not long after we got engaged.
Yeah.
And I threw the ring, and he said, well, I told you, you know, when we met, like, go home.
Yeah, wow.
So,
Yeah, it's funny though, in those moments we often ignore those little red flags or little bursts of intuition that we have, and try and justify their behaviour.
Absolutely. So
where were you when you got that phone call?
So I was actually staying at a friend's place. She was offering to have me and my two boys over the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm.
And was your friend took you to the hospital?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you went to the hospital, sort of how did you find out that information of what had happened? And when you found out, did you realize immediately it was your ex-partner that caused it, or were you thinking it was an accident?
I can still remember walking into the emergency at the hospital and the women behind the desk whispering, "That's her, that's the mother."
Yeah.
And in hindsight, that wasn't and when I think about it now, gee, wow, that was real nice, thank you.
Yeah.
But then I didn't go straight to my boys. I was actually taken aside by medical staff and police to be told this is what happened, and I knew in my mind then and there that he had done this. Like, yeah. I thought this is no accident.
Yeah. And so how old were the boys at the time?
My eldest son was 8, about to turn 9, and Spencer, my younger son. So I accidentally said my eldest son's name before, but he doesn't like being mentioned, whereas my younger son, Spencer, he's all over TikTok anyway and all over social media. He can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And Spencer was 5 and barely 5. He turned 5 in the October, and it happened in the December, so 2 months later.
Yeah, wow.
Mm.
And on that video that I had watched, you had mentioned that there'd been a fire safety taught at school or something, and that's what helped the boys?
Yeah, particularly my eldest son. He told me the story of only actually the day that he suffered his burns, I think it was. He said, "I remembered to drop and roll." And I went, "Oh, how did you know that?" And he said, "Because they taught us that at school only the week before."
Wow.
I know. What wow. In that moment, an 8-year-old is remembering to drop and roll.
Yeah.
I think I would forget.
Yeah, I think I would go into panic mode as well. But it just goes to show there's, you know, divine timing always at play with everything in life. And, you know, obviously that came to help. So the boy's father, he was burnt as well. Was he significantly burnt?
You know what? He was burnt. I didn't want to know any of it. I had decided on the day that I left that relationship, I was done by that point. Yep. You know, I'd been dealing with, I think I had checked out of the relationship long before the day I left. They told me that he'd suffered burns, because that was part of the reason why we were sent to Melbourne, was because he was sent to, you know, to the only burns unit here in Tasmania. So consequently, to keep them separate, they sent us to Melbourne. So, I don't know any more than that. I do know that for a period of time that he was having some treatment, and I really couldn't care less whether they treated him or not.
Yeah. I think we'd all agree with that one. Was he immediately placed in police care, or was there
Yes, he was. I was informed that he was would have been a police officer on his door, and then when he was in a position to be able to, they charged him or whatever. With 2 counts of attempted murder.
And were the boys, did they have to give evidence, or was there enough evidence that they didn't have to be on the stand?
So we waited quite a long time. We had to wait nearly 12 months before that all happened, and he pled not guilty. And so consequently then had to go through the whole process of a court case with the Supreme Court. My eldest son had to give evidence.
God.
And that just absolutely broke my heart.
Yeah.
However, he was, he just really took me by surprise. He did so well. And so let me get this straight. My eldest son was not in the courtroom. He was in a different room, and he was that video linked in.
Yeah.
You know, and questioned. So he could see only the DPP and the defense, like the other lawyer as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just asked him questions and yeah.
Oh, that's good. At least a small silver lining that he didn't have to be in front of him. And emotionally, did the boys understand what was happening, or they were too young to really grasp what had happened?
I don't know that Spencer fully understood at the time, but definitely Fletcher did.
Yeah.
My eldest son, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so how are they doing physically now?
So like I mentioned before, Spencer had burns to 38% of his body. So that consisted of his part of his scalp, his neck, shoulders. I've got to stop and think. His hands, and that includes he had the fingers on his left hand amputated to the first knuckle.
Yep.
So and a little bit off the tip on a finger on his right hand, and his knees. My older son, he had he wasn't as bad, so he was 23% of his body. So that was part of his scalp, little sections on his shoulders. His hands and his knees.
Yeah.
And now, so as to how they're doing now, soon after, so they had to wear compression garments. Now that's where we kind of have a little bit in common.
Yeah.
Regards to Munro, we kind of get that. But the difference is that compression garments, like they're much the same, but the difference is that they're providing pressure to the scars. Yeah. So they had to wear those for a period of time. They were supposed to wear a face mask, but they didn't like it, so we didn't push that and didn't, make a big deal out of it because mentally they just weren't in a place to be pushed to do something. So, but they did wear the long leg garments and body vest and all that. And my eldest son had that for a short period of time until he got the all clear to say, no, you no longer need it. Yeah. He's no longer had any more surgery, whereas Spencer, he wore garments for a lot longer, and he has ongoing surgeries. So skin grafts don't grow with the body, and he has grown really tall. Like he's taller than me now, and he's only 15. It's crazy. He's going to get even taller, I think. And consequently, the skin gets tight, doesn't grow with the body, so he has to have that skin released. At the moment, where we're on the waiting list for the three middle fingers on his right hand to be released, so they're starting to get a bit of a hook about them.
And so will he require surgery for his whole life, only until he stops growing, or what will that look like for him?
Until he's pretty well had enough.
Yeah.
So, yes, they can keep doing things. So Spencer also doesn't have any ears, of the earlobe. Like there's little bits there, but there's nothing really there. He's been told that once he's finished growing, if he wants ears, they're happy to fashion some ears out of skin.
Yeah, wow.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and just little things. They've suggested to my eldest son, who has never had any skin releases, would you believe? So suffered his burns when he was not quite nine, and here he is, still not had any surgery since. Ooh. Like he's had all the initial surgery to have his skin grafts done, but none since.
Yeah, wow. Pretty incredible, and it's crazy the difference that can happen in different people and their burns.
Absolutely, and a lot like Munro, they've got to be really careful about when they go outside too, because they've got the like skin grafts. They are very, very sensitive to the sun and to UV, particularly the UV rays. And we're living in the worst state for that, by the way. It's funny, and people might think that's really strange. So I'm actually from Tasmania. I'm in Tasmania. And people think, hang on. But no, you go out in the sun at this time of the year and I reckon you'd be burnt within 20 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
And Tasmanians will know all about that. but, yeah, so they've got to be extremely careful. And they've suffered sunburn, and they know what happens when they get sunburned. And they can be then sitting on the couch for a week waiting for this sunburn to go because it's so painful. They can get blisters from it and not nice.
Yeah, poor little darlings. So how long was their dad sentenced for?
Oh, that's right. So he was sentenced to, now I've got to get this right, 20 years. So he got two 20 years concurrent. Is that concurrently? I'm thinking like, so you serve all at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all up, he's there for 20 years with the head sentence is 20 years, with a non-parole period of 15.
Right.
However, as with anybody who is then sentenced, they've got a right to appeal.
Yeah.
And so they appealed it, claiming that it was too harsh of a sentence. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the same reaction as you. Actually, yeah. I said a whole lot more.
I can imagine.
Anyway, so I went through that, and then he had, so the head sentence is still the same. It's still 20 years. However, the non-parole period was reduced to 12 years. So he's eligible for parole in another 2 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It seems pretty unfair, doesn't it?
It seems extremely unfair because, I'm sorry, but the scars and the mental side of it and the emotional side of it and all that is going to last for a lot longer than 20 years.
Yeah, he's handed them a life sentence. And it
absolutely.
That, you
not,
know.
That, not that they said, not that my boys see it as a life sentence.
Yeah. No. Mm. No, obviously. And, you know, from what I've seen, your boys are really, really quite resilient. But I think, you know, all of us adults can come from it from a place that there's going to be different times in their life where that suddenly hits them again when they have different realizations in life. And, you know, perhaps even when they become fathers themselves and, you know, could be quite traumatic when they understand just the gravity of their own father doing that to them. And hopefully, you know, they'll still be supported. Do they still receive, you know, support if needed, like psychologically?
Yeah. So, well, kind of. Yeah. if we really, really didn't, I guess, one thing I have come up against recently is that Spencer's had lots of issues with food and eating.
Yeah.
And I think that stems from when he was in hospital, he had a nasal gastric tube in that would feed him overnight.
Yeah.
These milk feeds that they give you in hospital. So consequently, he wasn't eating for quite a long period of time. Then when they were ready to start thinking about taking that out and they were trying getting to eat, we would try anything. And you know what he ate? Chips and nuggets, like any other bloody kid.
Yeah.
So consequently, you just do what you could do because you wanted him to eat.
Yeah.
But then when it came to the crunch of getting him to eat some more decent meals, I just couldn't. Like, it was so hard. It was like he wouldn't even try. It was just give me the chips, give me the nuggets, give me, you know, any of that stuff rather than his favourite. You'll ask him. His favourite meal is still McDonald's. So consequently, here we are now, 10 years down the track, and I finally had said enough is enough because he was getting more and more harder to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this is not normal. Once upon a time, he used to be quite an energetic boy, but I've noticed that slowly dwindle. So I recently took him to the GP and said, look, he's having trouble, we're having issues with him, with eating. And we had blood tests done and it came back saying that his calcium levels were low and his iron levels were almost non-existent.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Which explained why he's struggling to get himself out of bed every morning.
Yeah.
And then sent on our merry way. I'm like, well, come on, where's the referral to someone to talk to about this?
Yeah.
I was left to just deal with it. So then when I tried to get in touch with the person that we're supposed to, who we normally do go to, I emailed her, I rang, nothing, absolutely nothing. So I'm struggling to get him to talk to somebody about that. But in the end, I just said to Spencer, you have to eat. And we refused. I just stopped buying chips and nuggets. In saying that, he was out with a mate this afternoon and what did he go and do? took himself to McDonald's, didn't he?
Macca's
and running. I still made him tonight sit down and eat all of his dinner.
Oh, good.
So we're getting there. It's a gradual, yeah. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, well, exactly. Any progress is incredible. So how do the boys feel about what happened to them? Do they feel like victims? Do they just feel like regular kids? Do they have any resentment?
I want to point out one word that you just used. Victim. They're certainly not a victim. A victim is someone who would have died.
Yeah.
That's a victim. Yeah. And a victim is someone who firstly will feel down on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you've got to pick yourself up and you've got to keep going, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things very, very early on, actually, as I was still in hospital, my eldest son said to me, he said, through some sort of conversation, Daddy made a bad choice, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, no, firstly he said to me, why did Daddy do this to us? And I sat down and I looked at him and thinking, oh, how do I answer this?
Yeah.
And my answer to him was, sometimes when we're angry, we do things that we don't always mean to do.
Yeah.
And then he just, that was when he looked at me and he said, well, Daddy made a bad choice, didn't he? And I said, well, he certainly did make a bad choice. And I think that was the last time we called him Daddy, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, how do they feel about it now?
You know, we now joke about it.
Yeah.
It makes like jokes. Like, I remember coming back. It might have been during the process of the court case and everything. And something was said during that. I'm going, well, I don't believe that happened. And so I was at home and I turned around and I said to my eldest son, I said, was he planning to take you on a barbecue? And he goes, no, we weren't going on a barbecue. We were the barbecue. Like,
oh, and
so,
God.
So now we're able to laugh about it.
Yeah.
That's our way of dealing with it. We just, we make jokes. We laugh because what else can you do?
Well,
we're not ones for, sitting in our misery. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we might have, like, particularly myself, I don't know about they do, but I'm sure, and like, we all have bad days.
Yeah.
I still have days. 10 years on, I still have things go over in my mind.
Yeah.
About what ifs or what's going to happen. Like, I'm in the thought process of what's going to happen in 2 years' time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's going to happen if he doesn't get parole? What's, you know, eventually he's going to get released. What's going to happen then? What will happen?
Yeah. Yeah. It's that would I imagine weigh heavily on you. But I think dark humor is just, you know, some people don't have that, which I really feel sorry for people that don't have that ability to have dark humor. But I truly think that get so many people through, you know, their heavy days is that dark humour. Because if you can't laugh, you cry. And there's no point crying about it.
Exactly. And you know what? I've had quite a few people say to me, I don't know how you did it.
Yeah.
I would have fallen apart. And I've looked at them in the eye and I said, you know what? You wouldn't have done. Why? Because you've got no choice.
Yeah.
You have to. Regardless of what's happened, how bad your situation is, whether it's something similar to what I've been through or you go through something else, you've still got to get out of bed the next day.
Yeah.
You've still got to go on. I did that for 5.5 months. Yeah. I lived in Ronald McDonald House for 5.5 months. I dragged myself. There was days where I thought, why can't somebody else go and do this? I didn't have a choice. I was the only parent. My only parent there by that point.
Yeah.
In saying that, my parents were with me. I wasn't entirely alone.
Yeah.
And I'm so very grateful for that. But I'm still the only one. Like, I had to drag myself out of bed every day, walk to that hospital and be in that hospital every day. It became our new normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, his dad's family, did they support... your ex-partner through this? Are they involved with the boys? What happened on that side?
Okay, so this is interesting. Oh, where do I start? So initially, when the day that they suffered their burns, I turned up to the hospital, and guess what? A lot of them were there as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't really, I just let it be. But now I wish I had have said, this is not a fucking circus.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
Yeah.
Right. But I just let it be. And then only one really supported him and was there, but also wanted to be around me as well.
Yeah.
And that didn't really
sit
very well with me. But at the time, we were dealing with hospital and whatever, and I just let it go. And this particular sister of his also dealt with, because at the time, we also had a house. So you stop and think that we had a house full of furniture, full of so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was flying to Melbourne, so somebody else had to deal with that.
Yeah.
My parents offered to do it, and she said, no, I'll do it. Well, guess what? I didn't see a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, wow.
In the end, so she consequently took a lot of it and then tried to say, oh, we had to sell it.
Oh, wow.
To fund his smoking habit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So then I let it go until after everything had been dealt with the court and had been sentenced, and I didn't have to deal with that anymore. And then I moved and I blocked a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And then about 12 months down the track, I might have been here for about 12 months, and then I get a letter in the mail from might have been Relationships Australia. She was seeking mediation with me. I'm like, are you kidding me? What? Claiming that she played a part in my children's lives.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, no. No. So I then got a bit of advice. I rang up Relationships Australia, or I think it might have been Legal Aid or one of the two, and got advice and said, how much do they play in her life? And I said, well, they probably saw her once a month.
Yeah.
If that, every few months. And they said, no, that's not really. And, you don't need to do anything. So I just didn't turn up. And I said, well, they said, if they've got the money, they'll just take you to court. And I went, well, they don't have the money. I know they don't.
Yeah.
So, and I never heard any more from that. She attempted to send Christmas cards and birthday cards, but guess what I would do? Return to sender. Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. And do the boys ever ask about that side of the family?
No.
Yeah. And has their dad ever tried to reach out to them now?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the thing, what he doesn't realise that he actually there's no nothing court wise in place to stop him. There is a family violence order, but there's no family law court thing, nothing from family law to put in place, because might be something that we chat about after.
And so Is he going to be, like, is his family still in Tasmania once he gets released?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Is that a distance from where you are now?
Not big enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I feel for you in that situation.
I don't know what will happen. Yeah. I really don't know what will happen, to be honest.
Yeah.
We might have to up the security around this house, because... Yeah. We won't be going anywhere, but he also knows where I live.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how he managed to find out. Someone from his family must have told him.
Hopefully he doesn't get parole and he's in there for even longer, and it's just one less stress over the next couple of years, because I imagine it would be quite worrying even just going out, you know, and the potential risk of bumping in down the street.
Yeah, you know, I actually think he will get parole. He will be considered no threat to anybody else. Unfortunately. It is what it is. I'm a realistic person. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe he has a little accident before it gets out.
Oh, believe you me, there's been a few people that have said that once they know that he's out, that, something might happen. You never know.
I
know nothing about it.
The time, so, you know, it's a dangerous world out here. So maybe
There are other people willing to put their life on the line. I'm like, go for gold.
Yeah. And so you said, you mentioned before that you had your parents with you during that process. Were you offered other support during that process? Were you offered counselling? Did you have?
Yeah. So when we're in Melbourne at the hospital, I had the most amazing social worker.
Yep.
She did more than just, help us out with various things like getting into Ronald McDonald House and parking and things like that. She also, talked about so much about how I was feeling or whatever, and then from there we went to the Royal Hobart Hospital, and that wasn't so great there. It wasn't a fantastic experience at first. I was treated like I'd done something wrong, which really they didn't, because they didn't know what to expect. They'd never dealt with anything like it before. And then we also had a psychiatrist bail my elder son up in the room with no adult, just him and her. And what she didn't realize is that I was actually in the bathroom and walked out and said, "What do you think you're doing?" So we had that issue, but then they sorted out and it died down, and I made it perfectly clear that psychiatrist wasn't to go near us. And that she didn't, so that was fine. Where was I going with it?
Support around there once you got to the...
While that was all going on, while we were in hospital, we had quite the school that my children went to. We had a lot of support from them. We had a lot of support from... So my father is involved with Alliance Club here in Tasmania.
Yep.
And his Lions Club did... a lot of things to do fundraising.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And one of the things that they actually did do was organise a concert called Come Together Concert to raise funds specifically for my boys. And the singer at that concert was Jessica Mowboy.
Oh, wow.
We got to meet her. I even got to go up on the stage while she was singing and... Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
So that was awesome.
Amazing experience.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of other things happen. One of the other things that we're involved with is so a lot of money's been raised.
Yeah.
And then when we were dealing with the court case itself, so I was in, like, I was going to Victims of Crime at the same time, and they were talking me through it and they were helping me with my Victims of Crime thing and my boy's Victims of Crime thing. And she was actually a really, really good, the lady that I dealt with was really, really good too. I spent a lot of time chatting with her about, feelings and that sort of thing. And in the end, I think I was almost counselling her in the end rather than her counselling me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you had support during that time. There's not a lot of support in different circumstances, but I'm glad that you were able to order during that. And for any of the haters, because we know there'll be trolls listening, and as soon as they hear money raised, they immediately think that everybody's got this luxurious life. That money was raised specifically for the boys and their needs. There for you to live your life with.
Yeah, so therefore any out-of-pocket medical expenses. Yep. They also, because there was quite a large amount raised, they also have paid for things like their iPads, which helps with schooling.
Yeah.
What else? We're involved with a foundation called the Kids Foundation,
yep,
which was actually started in Victoria, but they're actually starting to get into other states as well. And they run camps for burn survivors and also now starting to branch out and for others that have suffered severe trauma.
Yep.
So we're involved with them. But the money raised from that pays for us to go to the camps, to go to any appointments, going to and from appointments, that yep. sort of thing. And so I want to point out that so that large amount of money wasn't given to me.
Yep.
That large amount of money has now been managed by the Tasmanian Lions Trust, or I think that's what it's called. And whenever most of the time I have to actually pay up front and then I get reimbursed.
Yeah.
If there's a big thing that I can't afford to do that for, I then have to write a letter. So there's a committee involved that manage, and then they say, yes, we're quite happy. So for instance, one of the things recently was when my elder son just got his driver's license and he has saved up a considerable amount of money to buy a car.
Yep.
And they added a fair bit to it.
Yeah.
To help him out. So, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Good. Yeah. So yeah, again, like obviously I know you and I know the situation, but we do know yeah. and you know firsthand the trolling. And I don't want anyone to turn around and be like, oh, she's just living a lavish life now. It's not that way at all.
No, not at all. So, yeah, some people will say, oh, you seem to be away a lot. Not really.
Yeah.
Not when you realise that we're actually gone away for a camp that's involved with the Kids Foundation. Or,
yeah. So you've now gone on and you found love again.
Yeah, I have. it must have been more so when we were in Hobart and I would go back to Ronald McDonald House and I'm on my own or whatever, and it was, you know, you start to get a little bit lonely. You start to think, it would be nice to have someone to share my life with. It had been a while since, you know, there was somebody there.
Yeah.
And so I just went on to I didn't know what I was doing. I decided to go on to a dating app. And I chatted to a few different guys. I put in, you know, the age thing that you do and the area that you want to be in. And I chatted to a few, but then there was, in the end, I would, you know, give off vibes like that. I'd give off enough information for them to think, well, there's something going on with her, because I still had walls up. And I would say, oh, I'm actually the mother of those two boys that got burnt on the northwest coast of Tasmania. And they'd like, oh, and like they'd soon back off. But then eventually there was only one left.
Yeah.
And we chatted online for a period of time, and then we moved offline to text messaging, and on the phone we'd talk on the phone, and I think we chatted for about a good 3 months before we decided, oh, let's meet each other. It just went from there, really.
Oh, that's nice. So how long were you guys dating for before it, because you're obviously married now?
Yeah, so we met in 2013. So I've got to think about this because I've lost track.
It's been a while.
I'm happy. Who
can? Because you just had an anniversary the other day, didn't you?
We did. So we've been together for 9 years and married for 7 years.
Yeah. And your boys love him?
I actually think Spencer probably said that he loved him before I did.
Yeah, wow.
It was really funny. He was at my house and he was sitting, my now husband was sitting on the couch, and Spencer was rolling around on the couch and had his legs up against him and farted. And I said, well, now that he's farted on you must be part of the family. It took a little while to convince him to get engaged.
Yeah.
And to get married. And do you want to hear how we got engaged?
Yeah.
So we met online. Well, guess what? We got engaged over Messenger.
Oh, what? Well, there you go. So not an extravagant proposal.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just said to him a couple of times, I think about two times, I said, oh, maybe we should think about getting engaged. Oh, and he'd go, no, not quite yet. Because I think he was thinking about, you know, when or how to do it. And eventually I'd bought this real nice ring that I'd wanted, and he knew about it. And when it arrived in the mail, I said, oh, look what I took a photo of and said, look what I got. I said, I put it on my wedding finger, and said, I could wear it on this hand if I wanted to. And he said, well, why don't you? I went, why? Are you serious? And he goes, yeah, I'm serious. And I said, I'm going to go and tell my parents before you can take it all back.
So he got out of even buying you a ring.
No, we eventually did go and buy a ring.
Okay, I'm going to be on his back now. He needs to go.
No, we did go and buy a proper engagement ring.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, if you want something done, sometimes you just got to do it yourself, don't you?
Absolutely. I've always believed in that. I've told my boys too, if you want something, you've got to go and get it yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you.
All right, I'm going to go and find a hot guy tonight, message him on Messenger. Be like, I've just ordered myself a ring. We're engaged.
Yeah. It might work.
Oh, God. Well, I love that. That's so funny. I love that. I'm still learning these things about you.
We still message each other too sometimes. It was really funny. We were lying in bed the other night and he goes, oh, my phone's not all that exciting. He said, my social media is not all that exciting. And I said, I can make it exciting if you want. He goes, well, what are you going to do? So I sent him a message. He said, I just sent him, you know, I love you all, you know.
Oh, I love that. I love that for you guys.
Yeah.
Starting to wrap things up, what advice would you have for parents dealing with children that have been burned in any situation with burns children?
It just takes time.
Yep.
You've got to be patient because it's a long process.
Yeah.
Especially, well, it depends on the burn. It depends on the extremity of the burns. Yep. But it takes time. You can't rush it. There's definitely no rush with the Tasmanian health system either. Let's not go there though. we've been waiting for surgery for 12 months and we'll still be waiting probably in another 12 months.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, and the other thing is that there are people out there that can help. You're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not the only one. There are actually, you'd actually be quite surprised at how many people out there have suffered burns.
Yeah.
And even severe burns. And if there is anybody listening that that has children or even adults that have got burns, there actually is support out there through the Kids Foundation.
Yep.
And I can provide you with that link if need be to the website.
Yeah, if you maybe send that through and I'll attach that in the details of this podcast.
And those who know me on know of me on TikTok, it's actually if you go into on my account, go into my bio.
Yeah.
You'll find my link tree and it's in there as well.
And what's your account name in case they want to look you up?
Very good question. It is Alison, A-L-I-S-O-N. So Alison _ mum of an actor.
Oh, and that's an interesting one, isn't it? It's an
interesting, sure is.
Name change. And we'll touch into that. Now, that was where I was about to shift into. Spencer seems to be more of an extrovert.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's had some pretty cool experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given me permission and Spencer's excited. Now, obviously, there are things that we can't talk about, but we can talk on some of the other experiences and touch on some of the things he's done. He's agreed to be on an episode. So in the following days, we're going to arrange a time to chat with Spencer and hear from the legend himself. I think he's going to do big things in this world, and he's a very big energy. So I'm excited to be his first podcast interviewer, because I imagine he'll have more over the years to come.
Yeah.
Too much.
And he actually said to me today, he said, if Sarah can do a podcast, I should do too. So he's actually thinking about what he wants to do and how he's going to do it. And
oh, that's awesome. He absolutely
he's going big. He wants to go big. So.
Oh, he's got, well, he better have me on his show as well. You tell him. That's my new position now.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to be interviewed on his show. Oh, that's really awesome. I think he'd be really good at it. And, yeah, he can you know, just the confidence that he emits, and in a situation to come from where he come from, I think it's really inspiring to other children that, you know, may be self-conscious of, you know, how they appear after going through such an incident. You know, so I think that's really uplifting to know that he wants to put himself out to the world.
Yeah. Oh, he does. Believe you, mate.
Super cool. Yeah, he's a funny one. He's definitely... He's definitely a funny little kid. So, what is he now? He's a big kid. Growing up fast.
Very much so.
But, all right. Well, thanks for chatting with us today, Alison. And I will get those links from you, and I'll put them in the description of this podcast so that people can check out anything that they want to. But it's not an, you know, it's not an easy topic to talk on, and I really appreciate you opening up with this, and you know, I wanted to try and ask as many questions that other people might have, because I know, you know, we often see stories like this and we have those questions, but we feel a little bit awkward to ask. So if anyone's sitting there wondering why I grilled her, no, we've had conversations before, but yeah, I just think it's an incredible story to share. And, you know, you've raised two incredible boys from this that are doing incredible things. You've managed to find love afterwards. So, you know, when a tragedy occurs, it doesn't have to be, you know, a sentence for the end of your life. You can rise above out of that, out of that story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. And I'm going to end this, and then I'm going to talk to you offline anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll end this one, and I'll talk to you again soon. But thank you to everybody that's listened. And, yeah, again, over the next few days I will be chatting with Spencer and getting his little podcast up here. So I really look forward to having a chat with him and seeing what nonsense we both dribble. But anyway, have a beautiful whatever, day, night, evening, everybody, and I will chat with you all soon. Alison, I'll touch base with you shortly. All right. See you guys. Thank you all for listening to my podcast. Make sure you are following all of my socials. We've got Instagram with Sarah Mills _ amongst the stars. TikTok is Sarah Mills _ATS1 for now. Who knows until we get that one banned. YouTube is probably Sarah Mills amongst the stars as well. I don't know. Find a link tree. They'll all be in there. Thanks, guys.